From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 425, Microsoft's SharePoint Move to the Cloud with guest Jared Shockley. Recorded Tuesday, May 26th, 2015. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Great to be back in the studio recording the old-fashioned way. Today, my guest is Jared Shockley, who's a 21-year veteran of the IT field, working for both small business and large enterprise companies. And as of January 2014, he rejoined Microsoft IT in service engineering, building and improving on-prem SharePoint services as a senior service engineer, and later added the role of service owner. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Richard.
And we met at Ignite, and you're clearly a troublemaker.
No, I'm a troubleshooter.
There you go. Okay, troubleshooter, trouble. It's almost the same thing, really. It's
close enough.
Hey, we had a quick conversation like, oh, we got to talk about this. You are responsible for a bunch of the internal SharePoint sites at Microsoft. I mean, they must be massive.
Yeah, they are. It's interesting. The one advantage Microsoft IT has over most IT shops is we don't have to pay licensing fees. So right. I always forget that when I have 8 farms running, SQL server, SQL enterprise server. And, all my farms have all the maximum licensing levels.
Right. You just got everything cranked up to 11.
Exactly. And I go out and talk to the customers and I'm like, but I can't pay for that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we charge for this, don't we?
But I mean, it's also good to know that irrespective of money, it is possible to do X.
It is. And that's kind of what we do in Microsoft IT. We're the first and best customer, if you will, for our product groups. We're the ones that are taking the products and actually proving that they do what they say it's supposed to do.
They must fear you, too. I mean, you're just down the road, and you're really beating the heck out of the product.
Oh, and they beat the heck out of us. I mean, it's a two-way street. It's actually really good. We have good working relationships with our product groups, and sometimes it's been strained. At other times, it hasn't. It's just like any other partnership, and we're there to help them, and they're there to help us.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the classic example of dog fooding and so forth, and there should be some tension in that, right? Pressing both ways to really make the best product you possibly can. I certainly appreciate the model. Let's set the landscape. So how big is big in your world?
Well, I have a total of 9 farms that I run. The smallest farm, I believe, is 8 servers, and the largest farm is 14, if I remember at last count.
And what sort of things do Microsoft run SharePoint for?
Well, the things that I run primarily are internal large portals. Like I used to run our big internal portal. It's called MSW. Some people have heard of it if they've been around the Microsoft world. It's short for Microsoft Web. It's our internal portal. However, we moved that up to Office 365 and SharePoint Online last fall, and it's been working great up there.
Well, that's a great question. It's like, how much is this stuff's going to be in the cloud for you guys too? Because you own the cloud data centers as well.
Well, in the case of SharePoint Online, this is where it becomes real interesting. We've actually moved 93% of our SharePoint sites are now operating off of Office 365 SharePoint.
Interesting. That's a lot in relatively little time.
That is.
And I would guess that's hundreds of sites.
No, it's thousands.
Thousands of sites. Okay.
Thousands of sites. The biggest one is our OneDrive for Business. We had a big push of moving from the My sites that were on-prem to OneDrive for Business. And that was a big, huge win for Microsoft IT and Microsoft in general, just having files available anywhere because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super glad to hear you guys dog-fooding Azure, too. Like, that you're there pushing the limits on what's a 100,000-plus person company, demanding a lot from its technology, and you're using the cloud to do it. And this is what Ray Ozzie promised us long ago, is that Microsoft had all these different little clusters of technology, and why are they all isolated? Let's make them into a cloud product so we can share them more efficiently.
Exactly. And one of the great things is we're starting to see that, if you will, he had that vision, and we're starting to actually come through with that vision with Office 365, with Azure. I mean, one of the big projects I've been working on is actually trying to get our SharePoint sites working on Azure IaaS.
Okay.
With Express Route.
So not just Office 365, but like bare metal setups of SharePoint?
Correct. Well, one of the problems you run into, and this is a classic problem with SharePoint across almost all enterprises, is people get it. They take a look. Oh, we can do this. We can do this. Oh, wow. We can do these huge customizations. Right. Oh, you have to do it server side with Visual Studio.
Yes.
And then they go nuts with that. And then
hey, it was a good hammer, man. It made us a lot of money.
It did. It really did. But you know what? That's not allowed in Office 365.
Yeah, yeah. It's much more constrained how you customize SharePoint now.
It is. But the new model, they call it the cloud app model. And I know Jeremy Thack from the marketing team over there at SharePoint is real big. You know, he's got a developer podcast and everything.
Yeah, yeah. We've had him on the show before.
You have? Oh, great. He's an awesome guy. I'm really glad we got him on board at Microsoft. He's really driving that cloud app model. Right. And the great thing is, even if you're staying on-prem, IT admins should be pushing the cloud app model. Why? Because guess what? You get all that customized code off your SharePoint servers.
Yes. Yeah, it stops being that tricky thing to keep alive.
Oh, and every patch, you're just... Oh, God, is this going to break something? Everything like that. We have one of our farms. We actually have cloud apps on it and not normal, fully trusted code apps. And I tell you what, that farm is a breeze to patch.
Yeah.
We could just patch it and not worry about it. I have other farms where it's just, oh, my goodness, you roll the dice.
Well, I've got to think, everything you still have on-prem is scary.
It is. We have the worst of the worst. We actually have I do a lot of presentations for the IT showcase team, and one of the slides we pull out is our move to the cloud, and we're at the tail end of that.
Right.
And the tail end is all those scary, heavily customized, oh my God, we got to totally rethink these sites.
Yeah. I mean, is there a point where it's just a rewrite?
Or it's rethinking. Why did you write it this way? We actually have one portal. The customer's actually rewriting everything as an Azure web app because it doesn't make sense to run it in SharePoint anymore.
Well, then that's a whole other conversation. It's just this idea of what makes sense for SharePoint, what doesn't.
Exactly.
The SharePoint's gone through these weird convulsions. Remember, it was a portal product. No, it's a CMS. Like, you know, what is it really? What do you see it as? I'm really interested.
Well, I see it primarily as a collaboration space and a publishing portal for internal. So that's one of the big things is you get this publishing capability, and the publishing is where you use it for like an intranet. Mm-hmm. You can publish news, you can publish information, but there's also the team site collaboration, and everyone's talking lately at Ignite. They talked about the team sites are dead. And then of course it's that standard saying the team sites are dead. Long live the team sites.
Right.
Because in one way they've actually improved a team site by looking at it from a holistic manner with groups. I don't know if you've played around with groups yet on Office 365.
Yes.
It is probably the best replacement for team sites they've ever even thought of. It's the collaboration space, but it's not just tied to SharePoint. It's tied to Outlook and email. It's tied to Yammer. It's tied to all the different services for collaboration. And I think that's going to be a real win right there for a lot of organizations.
Well, plus there's all these new features that come up in Office 365, like Delve, that just give you even more insight into the knowledge that's sitting in that infrastructure.
The biggest questions we get in our IT showcase best practices classes asking about Delve, and I tend to be the person when I'm helping to teach the class, I'm the guy who gets search, and of course I get Delve as well with search. So I know I've spent a lot of time looking into it.
Yeah, no question. But you know, the funny part is, this sounds like all the apps you've already migrated to the cloud. Mm-hmm. Like if you're using SharePoint for collaboration with Office. That sounds like the least painful move to Office 365.
It is. I mean, the least painful, and what I tell people is start with the OneDrive for Business and My Sites.
Right.
The amount of storage you get for free is amazing. Take advantage of that.
Yeah, no
utilize
kidding.
That. And a lot of people get scared. Oh, well, what about security? One of the other slides we have is we point them to this slide that shows actually Office 365 is SharePoint is more secure than on-prem most of the times.
Right.
We've enabled more security aspects up in Office 365 because it's cloud hosted.
Right.
And then on top of that, they get better e-discovery up in Office 365 than they typically do on-prem. So the legal departments and compliance departments should be happier.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, all of those elements are better off. So not even talking SharePoint, just storing those files in OneDrive for Business just opens the door to a lot more capability.
It does. And I will be the first to admit that we have a how are we supposed to say it? We have a great opportunity about improving sync with Office.
Yes.
With OneDrive for Business.
Yeah. Just one set of information, please. So where does SharePoint really play from there?
Well, SharePoint can play there when you start taking a look at some of the next gen portals and some of that some of the Delve information, because as we start changing how we manage data, one of the things that we're seeing in obviously in Microsoft IT and probably every company is you have like four or five copies of the same piece of information.
Yeah, always. Only.
Yeah, I know.
20, 30, 100.
I had to admonish one of my team members because they were emailing around files for review. I'm like, why aren't you posting these to the SharePoint or posting them in your OneDrive and sharing them out? Because it's like, I don't want to have my inbox full. And it was like a 40 meg file.
My goodness.
Dude, stop doing that.
So many. Yeah, the Exchange people are just cringing at that point. The only thing wrong with Exchange is attachments.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so that's where we're trying to, you know, I see my team especially, we're trying to utilize OneDrive for Business and then we share them out, or our team SharePoint and then share them out, so that we have one place, one, if you will, one record of truth that we can go to. And then by always going back to that one and editing that one, then we make the improvements from there.
Absolutely. I mean, this is all good, and it's really interesting to pull all those pieces out and get into the collaboration side of stuff. I'm still hung on this 7% that you still got on-prem. Like, is the answer all of these are go into other platforms? Like, this is stuff that SharePoint shouldn't have done?
No, a lot of it is actually heavily customized. For instance, our internal HR system uses a very special security system. Mm-hmm. And they can't replicate that in SharePoint Online.
Right.
So they're trying to figure out how do we replicate the security system while at the same time utilizing the cloud app model and utilizing what's best about the cloud.
Right.
Now, in that case, we may stay in a hybrid mode, run an on-prem farm with that special security for those things that have to be locked down with that special security system, but everything else posted up in the cloud so it's available on mobile and it's available to the people in the field very easily.
Yeah, you think that security model you'd want in the cloud anyway. Like, this is documents that are more secure than secure. Is that what we're talking about?
No, it's the way that we do security. We use what's called a custom claims provider.
Right.
Self-written, internal. It's non-standard, and the product group actually doesn't support it anymore.
Right.
Especially going into 2016. So we can't even upgrade that farm to 2016 because they no longer support the API hooks that we utilize for that. It was supported in 2010 and it was supported in 2013, but no longer supported.
Yeah, these sound like all the things that get hung up. Like,
it is.
If you were going to start that project over, you would do it a different way.
A much different way.
Yeah.
And one of the key things as you start taking a look, a lot of my farms, the interesting thing is I have one farm that utilizes an aspect of search. No one else in the world utilizes it, but that one internal Microsoft farm.
Ugh.
So if of course, search is no longer going to support that, but that one site needs it.
It depends on it anyway.
Yeah, total dependency.
Yeah, so do you re-engineer this? Is there a different way to use search? It's more viable?
Yep. Like, we have to re-engineer it to work around the fact that that's no longer available, but the search team has provided other ways to do it. We just have to re-engineer.
Right. Yeah, every one of these has got to get into deep, sort of weedy details to know why it's still there.
Oh, God, yeah. And so one of the key things that I always talk about, we've talked about it at some of my compatriots talked about the moving of MSW to SharePoint Online. Microsoft Web had 41 fully trusted code server-side solutions.
Oh. in
none of those could go to the cloud.
One site.
One farm had 41 solutions.
Holy man.
They sat back, worked with the business, went through all those. We whittled it down to 4.
Okay. It's better.
And we made 2 of those what they call SharePoint provided apps. Basically, they're JavaScript apps that sit on the SharePoint server. And 2 are cloud app model apps, meaning they run in Azure.
Okay.
So we were able to totally take it to a cloud app model with 4, but we were able to get rid of so many customizations. Well, one of the customizations they had was a specialized publishing system.
Interesting.
The IT group sat down with the business and said, well, here's what you can do out of the box. They said, well, that's close to what we need. What else do you need? Well, we needed to also email this other person. You mean where we set this email to instead of having 1 recipient 2? Oh, okay. Now it can do exactly what we want.
It's awesome. Chair, give me 1 second to pay the bills, because Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of Configuration Drift. Configuration Drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at ScriptRock.com/RUNASRADIO. So, yeah, this is the hard part of this whole initiative of trying to manage these big projects, is figure out what are the right ones. Like, you know, what needs to be kept? What can be moved? How do you rethink it? Like, these are a lot of cycles for stuff that technically isn't quote unquote broken.
Correct. And a lot of it, you know, we had a big push after Microsoft IT, before I came back, Microsoft IT moved onto SharePoint 2010 back mm-hmm. in 2010. Imagine that. As soon as they got done with that, the product group came back to them and said, great, here's the 2013 beta bits, and oh, we want to try out this SharePoint Online thing. And MSIT kind of went, whoa, choose one. And at the time, the product group was like, let's go online.
Yeah.
So they've been driving hard, and that was that initial push, was those my sites and our team sites. Everything that was out of the box, non-customized, a lot of that was able to just lift and shift and move it to the cloud.
And just moved, like not a big deal, easy to do. There it went.
Exactly. And it was just, we also spent the time at that time contacting all the site collection administrators. You don't know, but about half of the site admins were like, that site's still there?
I once considered building a website called Lost Microsoft Sites. It was just a list of sites that are lost. Like, probably nobody owns this anymore. Just, they disappeared. And I'm just talking about the external facing stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
I
can't imagine what's internal.
We have a few SharePoint sites. I will admit, I have a couple on my servers. And mind you, when it was on the my sites, or what we call our utility system, those sites are free. Any team can spin one up.
Nice.
Doesn't cost the team anything. The sites on my servers cost money, because
right.
we have custom hosting. We do, you know, we have heightened secure, you know, heightened alert levels, this, that, and the other thing. I have found recently 10 sites on my service that the people are like, that site's still active?
Yes.
I mean, they did, and they're paying for it.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, we need to sit down and talk to you about this.
Yeah. And you think the money would be enough.
You would think. And so that's one of the things we're trying to do. I mean, as we have purchased Nokia, we're trying to figure out how we can tighten our belts, do a better job. And some of the things are just things like this, sitting down, and yeah, it's going to take money out of my team's pocket, but it's going to save money overall to Microsoft in other areas.
Right. Yeah. Just understanding, knowing the value proposition at any given time. But like you said, Mark, people lose track of it. Right. The guy who built it has moved on. He got his promotion. He, you know, something's, and did it get handed off?
Or did he move? Did someone move from one area to a whole different team?
Right.
We also have run into the problem of a lot of the people that have been affected, you know, unfortunately, those poor souls affected by some of the layoffs. We've lost whole teams where it's like, okay, this major site was owned by this team that's all gone now. Who
right.
do we go to? Because the whole team's gone.
And you don't just probably turn it off. Like, there's institutional knowledge in there.
There is. And we're trying to find people. We've unfortunately had to start do scream tests, what we call, where we mark sites read-only and then see who yells.
Yeah, I've done it. Turn a feature off. See if anybody yells.
Exactly. We've actually had we've had to do it with servers inside Microsoft IT because, again, like one person was using a server for something or other, and that person's gone, and nobody knew about that server.
Right.
And I've actually heard of servers just getting shut off and nobody noticed. It's that whole, you know, if a server shut off in the data center, would anyone notice?
If you don't hear a scream, you know, after a certain amount of time, it's like, okay, apparently that wasn't needed after all.
Exactly. But you have to watch that because there are certain processes that,
maybe once a year,
especially when it comes to business teams, once a year, all of a sudden you get rid of something. Then 8 months later, it's like, holy cow, we need this for the fiscal year end. And it's like,
so
try and restore that data.
Turn it off. Don't take it apart. Just
exactly.
You
know.
Well, I mean, it's the nice thing about virtual machines, right? It's just disk space. Just turn it off and wait.
It can be. The bigger problem though is if all those people that have shut everything off have to turn everything back on, you need to have all those CPUs. So we tend to, in Microsoft IT, we don't tend to oversubscribe. So if we have virtual machines, even if they're in an off state, they're still subscribed to that memory and that CPU.
And maybe somebody may have only read the data once a year, but it might have been accumulating data every day. So you've had it off for 8 months.
Potentially.
There's a whole lot of catching up to be done.
Oh, yeah. And it's trying to work with a business. And that's one of the big things we're becoming better and better at in Microsoft IT, I'll say that, is working with our business partners to say, okay, what are your needs?
Yeah.
It used to be, Microsoft has got a lot of brilliant people working there and a lot of technical people, even in the finance department. And we're now starting to kind of be more specialists, especially in our service engineering. We are going to our business partners and saying, what do you need? What sort of availability do you need?
Right.
What can we hit? And then we'll design the system for you.
But when you ask availability, everybody says always. You know, how do you get a more granular number than that?
Well, they say always. Then you produce the bill that they would have to be paid.
Right.
Then they start saying, oh, you know what? We don't need it that often.
Yeah. Well, what's like slightly less than always?
Yeah. What's because if you go to 99, you know, if you go to like 4 or 5 nines, now inside Microsoft, we can't go higher than 4 9.
Yeah, well, 5 nines is almost a myth. That's got to be completely self-contained. Like, you can't use the internet with 5 nines.
Well, and that's it. And 5 nines, it's all about the network. 4 nines is where our network cuts off.
Yeah.
So I can't promise a 5 9 service if I have a 4 9 network.
Right. And 3 nines is sort of seems to be the standard today for cloud services.
It is. And that's what we're seeing. And a lot of times what people are looking for is they don't want to have those long breaks of service.
Yeah.
Meaning you have something like an example might be an expense management system. Because you have so many field people in Microsoft, our expense management system has to have as minimal downtime as possible. But when can it have downtime? Well, are people doing expense reports on the weekend? Are they doing it on holidays? Probably not. So that's when we can take our downtimes and be able to patch and do those things over the weekends. And it's just being smart with the information.
Right. So I'm still digging into the big scale systems that are still in your place. They're not massive numbers of servers. You're talking 8, 10, 12. You know, is it sort of the typical architecture? Have you got a front end service? You've got some processing. You've got some databases in the back end.
So we use what we call the streamlined model, meaning we have web front ends. We have a distributed cache layer. So in SharePoint 2013, they introduced this the app fabric layer as a distributed cache for SharePoint.
Right.
And it was actually introduced in 2010, but it was more taken advantage of in 2013. And one of the things you could do was separate out those cache servers to make the cache run faster and the web front ends run faster. So that's what we do. So we have the web front ends, the cache servers, any middle tier application servers, and then an always on SQL cluster in the back.
Right.
And in fact, in most cases, we have a SQL cluster for the data of that farm itself, and then there's a type of data in SharePoint called the usage data. We run a whole separate SQL farm for usage data.
Interesting. Just keep it completely self-contained.
Well, that tends to be the files or the aspects of data in SharePoint that thrashes the databases the most.
Yeah.
And so we put it off on its own separate farm. Every farm gets its own data LUN on each server. So it's
when you talk about licensing, I think this is where it gets painful, is SQL Server as a back end, an expensive product. And And SharePoint, in some respects, abuses that database.
Oh, it does.
I don't think most organizations would be prepared to give SharePoint its own SQL Server.
Most organizations don't. They'll either run a, you know, depending on the size of the organization. I came from a healthcare company that actually was not just a healthcare company. It was a medical practice. Mm-hmm. And we had a SharePoint on-prem. And in the SharePoint world, if you install everything on one server, you say you're killing a kitten every time you do it. And we definitely killed a kitten there. We had everything, SQL, SharePoint, you name it. And we were running SQL Express.
Right. Which is not the tool.
Oh, the SharePoint farm was so slow. Everybody hated it. It's just, I eventually was able to move it. We relicensed the company under there was a program a couple years back where you're able to take old SQL Server licenses and reactivate them for SA at less than a brand new SQL Server license cost, but more than an SA cost.
Right.
And by doing that, I was able to free up some licenses so that we were able to basically install SharePoint onto a shared SQL Server that was sharing with several applications, but SharePoint was able to take a good chunk of the resources. And all of a sudden, our SharePoint site started working so much better.
And then, and that's, you know, we've done this show before, just talking about your first steps to scaling SharePoint. It's get the database on its own.
Yes.
And because SQL does not play and work well with others. Give it its own space. Let it, you know, mangle its machine to itself. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the biggest thing is IOPS. That's the biggest thing that I've seen,
right.
Especially when you're dealing with search. If you can isolate search away from other aspects of the farm, boy, you can sure make a SharePoint server run better.
Well, does this get back to your whole, you know, logged management environment? Because that sounds like a very high search environment.
It is. However, I'm, as most of my SharePoint brethren might say, I'm a lucky person. We have enterprise search run by another team.
Right.
I don't have to run search on any of my farms.
Ah, there you go.
And it runs against my farms.
Yes.
But I don't have to run it.
You don't own it. So the indexing, all of that stuff lives somewhere else.
It does. There's a whole other team that does it, and they do a great job on doing that. And they do it across the company because they not only do it for SharePoint, but because they're using Fast Search.
Yeah.
We pull in things from file shares. We pull things in from LOB apps. I mean, they can do all sorts of searches because of that capability.
This is almost like the manual delve.
It can be.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some new things. There are some new things announced at Ignite that were pretty amazing around search. There's going to be the capability to be able to push indexes from on-prem to the cloud so that information on-prem can end up in Delve.
Nice.
And we're starting to work with the product group right now to test some of that.
And this sort of speaks to, you know, you're cognizant of the difference between the way Microsoft could do something versus the way a typical, even large enterprise running SharePoint would do. Although I guess at large enterprise scale, you would want a dedicated search team. It makes sense. It's a huge asset.
It is. It's when you're in the small to mid business that you're have problems trying to separate out search,
right,
and trying to make it run separately. Honestly, and when you get into the that SMB sector, I've got some friends that work in the consulting world in that sector. And a lot of times they're starting to push them to the cloud and just saying, why try and maintain these servers? Why try and build the performance for this? Why not just use the cloud? And a lot of times these small to mids are also so geographically spread because they have offices all over the place that
yes.
SharePoint Online and Office 365 really help them out.
Yeah, no, it make a huge difference for them for sure.
It can. I do know I had one close friend. She was working with her customer. They had an office in New York and an office in Shanghai. And of course, the Office 365 was hosted on the East Coast. So the New York office was great. But the Shanghai office was having tons of problems with connectivity, trying to download large files from the SharePoint site. And so ended up actually that the local ISP was being bottlenecked and they chose a different ISP. And all of a sudden they got better bandwidth and hey, everything works better.
Right. Yeah, it makes all the difference in the world.
I know there's a couple of work guides out there for calculating how much bandwidth you need if you're on Office 365, and those are very helpful in cases like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's the knowledge is there. It's just a challenge of actually figuring, you know, getting the cycles to really dig into it, work that stuff out. And again, it's like going to the cloud makes this problem go away for the smaller business. Just let it do its thing.
It can.
Do you see a time, is there certain classes of data and things that just or certain projects that just cannot go to the cloud that need to stay on-prem?
I personally don't feel there's anything with the security capabilities and other things that are available through Office 365 for both auditing. They've just improved auditing and they've just improved compliance type APIs. I am almost feeling that the cloud is more a better solution than the on-prem is for a lot of people. Now, right. There's just some things you can't do. The customizations. There are just some customizations you need to do, yeah. You have to have. Well, those are going to stay on-prem.
And this seems to be this is just legacy of SharePoint stuff. SharePoint tried a lot of different ways to be the product that people wanted, and not all of them went well. And they went very well,
and people are stuck with code from 2007.
Yeah. No, without a doubt. It's like I said, you take it on a different way if you had a chance to try it again. But that's true of a lot of stuff, you know. Hindsight's always 20/20.
Oh, it always is.
So what you're telling me, Jared, is you're not going to be out of a job anytime soon.
I don't feel like I would be. Luckily, I will say from the standpoint of MSIT, we've gotten a very big push to the cloud. So yes. I foresee that at some point. Yes, I personally will be because Microsoft is pushing hard to the cloud. We are becoming cloud first, mobile first.
Well, I think one of the people are concerned about when they talk about the cloud moves is like, what will I do all day? You know, 93% of your sites are gone. What do you do all day?
Well, guess what? We still have to have a team managing the tenancy on Office 365. It doesn't just run. There is a lot of work still to do.
For sure.
And there's also a lot of people still needed to support that.
Yep.
The last time we sat down and talked about, okay, here we are, we're taking these steps. I mean, we moved MSW. It was when we moved MSW. My team's no longer supporting it, but there is a team that has to support that up in the cloud. So it's just changing from managing servers. And here's the biggest part. It's going from managing hardware and OS and SQL patches and SharePoint patches to actually managing the data, managing the users, trying to figure out how to better improve the user experience.
Right.
And that's the biggest key is how can we improve the user experience instead of managing the trivialness of patching servers?
Yeah. And you can hide behind taking care of the plumbing rather than providing the value that could be there. By being able to actually work on the data and getting more access to things and actually improving things. Like I never feel like there's a lack of work these days. There's a lot to do.
Correct. And one of the biggest things that I'm employing, my team's actually shrunk over the past few years, not just because we have smaller farms, but just because of cost constraints.
Right.
One of the things I'll point to a blog post a good friend of mine, Wes Miller, wrote recently. It was about being a tool maker instead of the tool.
Right.
It goes well in IT. If you're running scripts instead of writing the scripts, you're in the wrong job.
Right.
You need to move on from the job where you're running scripts to the one where you're writing, you're creating automation.
Yeah.
You know, as we start to automate more and more, it's better to have the skills like PowerShell to create automation scripts. It's better to have the data analysis skills to take a look at logs and say, this is what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And yeah, and good words. Write the scripts. Don't be the guy running them.
Exactly. I mean, I take a look. We as Microsoft IT, we have a lot of vendor staffing that help run our systems. And it's the vendors that run the scripts.
Yeah.
And it's the FTEs and kind of the senior vendors that are more highly qualified that are writing them.
Yeah.
And those are the people, you know, that's who you want to be. I made a joke when I was at Ignite, but it's so, so true in this modern day and age. IT administrators that are coming up now will have never seen a real server.
Yeah. They never spun a screwdriver. Like, it's just not necessary anymore.
They've never had to install a driver at the iron level, if you will.
Yeah.
They've never had to press F6 and find a driver because you can't get to the storage drivers.
Yeah, because the network driver is not auto-installed. Yeah. Yeah. I did a lot of that work. I don't think I miss any of it. I like what I'm doing now.
You know, I'm nice and warm in my office. I don't have to go in that cold data center anymore.
Yeah, my back's not dusty.
Exactly. You know? Oh yeah. Things. My back actually feels fine. I'm not lifting 70-pound servers up into trying to align them into a rack.
Yeah. No more racket is stacking.
Well, we at the medical practice I worked at, we just gotten a JBOD unit that we're connecting up to Mellanox switches and SAS switches. We started putting all the drives in, and then we picked it up, and then we pulled all the drives out so we could put the chassis in and then put the drives in once we racked it. It was about 200 pounds with all the drives in it.
Hilarious. Hey, Jared, thank you so much for talking about this. This whole move to the cloud, it's been behind the scenes. People haven't really seen it, but it's obviously working for them.
It is, and one of the key things that I stress to people is all this change is coming. Embrace it. Yep. Go out and learn things. I always point people, all the Ignite sessions are now free online. Go and listen to them. I mean, we had some great speakers. The labs, I think, are available for a few more days online where people can go and play with the labs. I mean, the folks over there that did the labs are amazing. And I've played with them several times myself. And I've been able to play with things I can't do at work just because I can spin up a lab.
Awesome. Jared Shockley, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Richard. It was a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.